Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We're going to Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Obviously, this is Palm Sunday, and it's a reminder of what happened on that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples. And the middle high, junior high are now released to the foyer at some point. Here we go. We're coming there. Okay. Say. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them.
All this is done, and it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophets, saying,
tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them, and he sat on them. Then the multitude, when they went before, and those who followed, cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Verse 11 together. So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the proselyte from Nazareth of Galilee. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, it's so important for us to really look at the scripture of what it says. Because, Lord, that question that looms at the very end of this passage that says, who is this? I think many of us may have a misconception or the wrong idea of who Jesus really is. Lord, we've limited to the fact of a historical time that where Jesus came and he suffered, he bled, and he died, and he rose. But Lord, personally, it means nothing to us. So somehow we've got to just change the way that we look at this whole picture and see who Jesus really is to us and get the reality of who you are. Lord, Holy Spirit, teach us today to look into your word and to discover new things about you and the reality things about ourselves that need to change. Lord, we thank you for all this, and we praise you because your word will go deep into us and we'll leave here a changed people because of all you've done. We ask all these things in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all God's people said.
Amen.
You may be seated. Many of you may not have realized this. I don't know whether you follow these things in the news. I don't, but somehow I come across them. Portland is now number one again. We're number one again. You're not going to be happy when you find out where we're number one. We are number one for being the most atheistic city our size in the entire nation. Non-God-fearing, you know, here's the percentages. We have 6% of the population here that confess to be card-carrying atheists. Not really card-carrying, but they're atheists. 8% are agnostics. And only 40% of people believe in Jesus enough to even think about going to church. And that's something. The Lord has got some work to do through us, and that's what my challenge is today. The Jesus they never knew. That's what my subject is, but we're going to get to some practical things about that. But, you know, we have difficulty embracing them along with the other lifestyles that would capture the attention of forever seeking, yet a maverick culture seeking to find out their own path to a deity. Everything's a deity, you know, food's a deity in Portland. Oh, it is. Oh, honey, we are foodaholics. We're the foodie culture. But I want to tell you, some things will change today. Let me just take these three questions and quickly bring them to you. Number one, do you find it difficult to explaining to people who Jesus really is? Is it because of all the cultures and cults and ideas and philosophies that have been thrown at folks? And he's kind of like this. And he's kind of like Buddha, but not. Really? And he's kind of like, you know, he's kind of like the universalist. He's kind of fits everything. He's kind of molded in the way you want to. Jesus is not that person. Amen. He will not conform to anything you want or any idea or theology or anything you've clinged onto. Jesus is the only Son of God, period. But how do you explain? You say, well, you know, I just remember when I learned about him in Sunday school. I'll tell you what, you need to grow up. You need to find that Jesus is a reality in your life right now that keeps you day by day, that took you out of a drug culture and brought you into the light of knowing the truth. That's the Jesus they need to hear about because people are bound today. Let me go to the next one. Have you made the transition from being a believer to a believer in Jesus to a follower? A lot of folks believe in Jesus. Well, yeah. Some of them believe in the tooth fairy. Santa Claus, you know, and all those kind of things. But are you a follower? There's something that's going to set followers apart in the next while to come. Because many and many people, as it was in Jesus' time, they fell away from following Jesus because it seems like it was too difficult to stay on path. Let me take you to number three. Do you desire to make Jesus known to others by the life that you live? That's really where it comes to. Is there a desire, an insatiable desire, that you want to make Jesus known to others? Because really, that's what the whole story of Jesus is all about. He says, go and make disciples of all men. That wasn't a suggestion. It was a commandment. We're going to talk about that today. Well, what the Lord really needs from us, Matthew chapter 21, verses 2 and 3, we'll revisit those again because they're good. Saying to them, go to the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her, and loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. You know, for years I struggled with this. I'm thinking, Jesus is out stealing donkeys. That doesn't look good, you know. But I want to take this whole perspective. Really, I mean, I actually struggle with it. I'm thinking, you can go, you're going to send you on a mission to go take something. But the thing that we sometimes in our finite ability to handle things, the Lord makes specific requests of those who have been chosen to follow him. And there's today, I'm sure for each and every one of us, God has made requests of you that you didn't totally understand, but there was reasoning behind it. He didn't ask you to figure it out. He asked you to do it. Well, you know, and we start comparing it with other things we know or other people we know. Well, he didn't ask them to do it. No, he asked you. And you're a disciple. Disciples don't ask him. Well, you didn't tell them. He didn't ask you what you told them. He told you. It's kind of an amazing part where we get kind of stumbled and stuck on this thing. The very preparation for this, his interest was dependent on his disciples following orders that in the natural did not make sense. Wow. Let me help you with that so you don't get too stuck. Having the faith to believe that things will turn out the way that Jesus says they will is the key to increasing our faith. Unfortunately, like me at times, I try to rush to the end of what's going to happen and I draw a conclusion. Now, I know you don't do that, so pray for me. Because I got to figure it out how it's going to work out, right? You get some bad news and you fill in the blanks for all the rest of the bad news and you have folks dead before Jesus had a chance to even come see them. Ooh, Lord, I know somebody else that had that same thing. Ooh, she's going to be dead by Friday. Are you serious? Devil don't have to work hard. All they have to do is make a suggestion. You're right. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. On their way to hell in a handbasket. Oh, yeah, they're going. Let me help us. Being bold enough to operate in faith will usher Jesus into the presence of those who need to see him. I know this sounds so simple, simplistic, but it's key to the whole operation. We must be willing to present Jesus in a way that he desires to be presented. Now, One of the things that was implied by some of the books that I've read is that Jesus, more than likely, speculation, knew the owners of that particular colt and donkey. If that makes you feel better, run with that. But even if he didn't, Jesus doesn't need our permission, he needs our cooperation. Can you work with that? Because a lot of times, you know, ever have kids say, well, why do I have to do that? I know your kids were perfect. They never ask you why. You're going to say, oh, yes, Daddy. No, Daddy. Of course, Daddy. You know, well, why do I have to go? No. God is asking something of us that's endemic on this particular thing. We must not operate in fear when the Lord asks us to do something that appears to be out of the ordinary. Furthermore, we must be boldly declare the will of the Lord over the things that are our assignment in the kingdom of God. He takes two of his disciples and says, you two, go get the donkeys. Let me help you with that. Jesus selected a colt that indicated the spiritual nature of the kingdom of God. Zechariah 9:9. I think this will help you. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just in having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. A colt, the foal of a donkey. Hello? Jesus is fulfilling scripture, and there's things that he's already scripted out in your life. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you know you got to call on his name before you can be saved. Amen. There's some prerequisites for the will of God being performed. And he says, and they're saying, well, you know, how did Zechariah know that? There are prophetic things that God has spoken over your life that all you have to do is obey what Jesus tells you to do. And guess what? Things are going to change. It's amazing. Well, people they were expecting a conqueror riding on a stallion with entourage. They should have read Zechariah and believed it, because it didn't turn out that way. Now, question. Has Jesus ever failed to meet your expectations? Do not raise your hand. You thought it was going to go this way, and it went that way? I mean, this is all I get? I was expecting, you got me a Honda? And I was expecting an Escalade? Can I help you with this? It's not that you can't get one. Jesus will always do what's in your best interest. I can get on a sidetrack. I'm going to leave that alone, and you better be thankful I did. The donkey is a symbol of peace. And that means the very fact that he is the right Jesus who comes forth in humility. I hope that we can kind of grab this whole idea, or not even an idea, this whole philosophy of how Jesus deals with his life. If you're looking for all the things that'll make you look good, I got news for you. Enjoy the hunt, because it may not turn out the way you think. People spread their coats and their palm branches on the ground, and they're saying some things. In the next part, it says, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The people were crying out to Jesus for salvation. They said, Hosanna, Hosanna. You know what that means? Save us now. You're the one that's going to get us from underneath the Roman Empire rule. That's why they're excited. They are not excited to see Jesus. They're excited to get what they want, to get out from under the oppression of the things in your life. Why did you come to Jesus? Well, because my life was a wreck. Really? What if it hadn't turned differently? Would Jesus be enough? There's some things I'm going to tell you in a few minutes that may be somewhat disappointing, but we'll find the reality that's behind it. Because regardless of how Jesus came before them, they were so desperate for a leader, they overlooked his donkey and joined the crowd mentality in search of a deliverer. All of a sudden, they wiped out the fact, well, yeah, he's not on a white stallion, but you know what? If he can get us out of this mess, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord Jesus, get the Romans out of here. Save us now. I oftentimes wonder the things that we say in desperation that we want Jesus to do. And it goes to this particular place where they were seeking salvation from oppression and not from their own personal issues. Jesus wants to save you from you rather than from them. So you got all mixed up, and I do too. We think it's the other people outside of us that make us who we are. Honey, it's what comes from the heart that makes you who you are. The Bible says from the abundance of heart, that's who you really are. It's not the people that are around you. You say, well, they made me say that nobody can make you anything. It comes from your heart, from the spirit that's within you, the way you react towards stuff. He says, oh, they make me so mad. No, honey, they just brought out the anger that's already in you. I didn't make you mad. I just brought out all this stuff that you've been stuffing down inside of you. Ooh, somebody going to get saved today. Jesus. Jesus choreographed his own entrance. This means this. The Bible does not embrace anything by fate or chance. Can I tell you something? He said, well, I believe I'll go to New Song to church this morning. That was not your decision, totally. Now, you could have said, I ain't coming. But you are here by the divine providence of God, and the Holy Spirit has appointed you to hear what the word of the Lord is today that will bless your life, that will change your life, and perhaps put you on a whole new path of freedom to do all the things that God's called you to do. That's a whole different perspective. Well, you know, it is Palm Sunday, and I just don't want to be appear as a person who only goes on Easter, so I think I'll get a week ahead. God bless you. I want you to know the Christian life has purpose and meaning. And the significance is only what happens on Sunday. I got news for you. It won't help you. It's what happens the other 6 days of the week. And we should celebrate on Sunday what God has done for us the other 6 days of the week. That's the way I look at it. But you are here today because God has something for you and for me to experience. Now, here we go. The ministry was a series of events that appeared to be insignificant, ministry of Jesus, until the power of his presence overtook what seemed natural and turned it into supernatural. I could go with probably a whole lot more. I want to take just a few. First one is this. A conversation about water brought salvation to a city. Let's go into John chapter 4, verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. It all started with Jesus being thirsty and the woman having an opportunity to give him a drink. I want to tell you that salvation can happen to someone with some of the simplest things. You can say, well, could you, you know, do something for me? It opens up the door of opportunity to connect with people on a level. Just something simple, glass of water. I want to tell you, there are so many missed opportunities that I've missed, and perhaps you have too, where it started off with something simple, and the Holy Spirit says, well, I'll just take it a little step further. He said, oh, I don't want to invade, and you left too soon. What if Jesus just got the drink of water and said, thank you very much, have a nice day? I want to tell you, a whole city full of people would have missed. Let me just take you to the one verse. After Jesus has all his dialogue with her, I won't go into all this thing. Jesus tells her everything she's ever done. And she says this. In verse 29, after they've gone through 22 verses of finding out that she's living with somebody, she says to them, come see a man who told me all the things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Whoa. All the way from give me a drink to could this be Jesus? I want to say to you today, in order for us to really know and understand who Jesus is, we have to take the opportunities that are given to us and allow God to use us to bring those opportunities to present Jesus to folks. You understand what I'm saying? The ordinary becomes extraordinary. Here's another place. He made a banquet for over 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Mark chapter 6, verses, Mark 6, 38. And then 41 through 42. But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? He says, go and see. And they found out that he said 5 loaves and 2 fish. This is another one of those things that I kind of struggle with and thinking, How did Jesus do that? You know, two fish, five loaves of bread. Did he do it like those other people? He'd take a nice blanket, cover it up, and go, whoo, presto. Have you figured it out? I don't know. People speculate, well, that he just gave them to some of the disciples, and as a disciple, this it reappeared. I don't know. But let's go down to these other verses, and it'll help us. It says, and when he had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves. You know what I found out? The power there is in allowing Jesus to break you. You thought breaking was bad. No, it's not. He broke them, lifted up to heaven, says, God, this is all I've got. Some of you came here today saying, Lord, this is all I got, and I'm a broken person. And Jesus says, God says, that's all I want you to do, just admit what you don't have, and I can supply everything you need. Bring what you have to Jesus. See, you're waiting till you get enough faith. You're waiting till you get enough this and enough that. Jesus says, bring what you got. Give me the two fish. Give me the five loaves of bread. I can work a miracle for you. And not only for you, but for all those around you. Do not be so focused on you. Be focused upon the world that God wants to reach with that little bit that you've got. See, here's this little guy that said they ripped off his lunch. Well, I don't know. Are you willing to give what you've got that somebody else might get what they need? Are you willing to do that? See, that's the big question here. And so this is another place where Jesus takes something just absolutely ordinary. But let me take you to the place that's closer to the crucifixion. In John chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. He took a towel and a basin to symbolize greatness. He rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Maybe you don't know the complete story, but let me just summarize it this way. This is the night before Jesus dies. He's got this, all of them together. It's called, the semblance is called the Last Supper. And after they finish the meal, Jesus does something that it just takes people off guard. Gets a basin, puts water in it, takes a towel, girds himself, and he washes all the disciples' feet. I want to tell you, he did not exclude Judas. What? But Judas betrayed him. Yeah, I understand, yeah. Judas is the one who betrayed him, but you know, there's some people you want to skip over. Come on, tell me the truth. I mean, I'll wash theirs, but not her. Sister girl over here, she done me wrong so many times. I am done with her, done. D-U-N, done. She's no longer on my list. Jesus takes something simple like this and uses it as an illustration of what greatness really looks like. Until you are able to come to the place where you can wash the feet of the person that will betray you, you'll be missing an element of knowing Jesus, of knowing who he really is. It's huge. Well, let's move quickly to some conclusions here. Who is this? Matthew 21:10. This is an amazing thing. After all this happens, now, and why would they even do this? Matthew 21:10. And he had come to Jerusalem, and all the city was moved and saying, who is this? Now, folks, you'd have broke down palm branches, throw down your coats, and now you're talking about, who is this? Huh? That doesn't make any sense. You know what I found out? We can get caught up into a frenzy of other folks and say, and you're just yelling and screaming, like, why are we doing this? Anybody tell me, who is this person we're screaming about? Just like I said before, that you can get used to anything, you can get caught up in anything. Rallies and this type of thing. But let me unpack that for you into a whole different realm. The majority of the people truly did not understand who Jesus was. Some of the people only knew him by virtue of the understanding that he was of the tribe of David and the son of Joseph and Mary. And then he had been teaching for 3 years. And that was controversial. How about this? Many were captured by the power of the spoken word. And this is what they said. Never have you heard anyone speak like him before. I mean, he's like the Martin Luther King back then of the day where he'd say things and people would just be enthralled with it. But you know what? That's not it. People were divided in their opinions as to who Jesus truly was. Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 29. Now Jesus and his disciples went out in the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road they asked his disciples, saying to them, "Who do men say that I am?" Some said, "You're John the Baptist." Some say, "You're Elijah." Others say, "One of the prophets." Here's the telling part right here, verse 29. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said to him, "You are the Christ." You know, that's ironic that Peter's the one that often speaks up. And who was it that denied Jesus 3 times? Peter. To know the identity of someone physically and to know them in your heart is a totally different thing. Do you know Jesus well enough that you're willing to die for him? And Jesus says, he says, "Peter, I got some news for you. Before the cock crows twice, you'll deny that you know me 3 times. What? There's some things that I've discovered about myself and my Christian life. You say, have you ever denied Jesus? I've never said I don't believe in Jesus, but my lifestyle of that I was living at a particular portion disprove the fact whether I knew him. Now, I'm being transparent. I don't want you to raise your hand because I want to keep you secret, okay? I'm going to cover you. But I think if we're honest, there are times when we have stepped away from what we've known Jesus to be and it's as if we never knew him, because sometimes it's not convenient to know Jesus. Somebody say amen. Sometimes it's not, it's what you really need to say. You say, "Well, people probably won't misunderstand me, and I don't want to cause any confusion, and I don't want to cause any controversy, and you know, and religion is so political." I'm not talking about religion, I'm talking about Jesus. See, when you invite people this week, which I believe you will invite people just to hear the word that's being read, isn't it interesting you can hear the word read and all of a sudden it takes on a whole different meaning when someone reads it with the passion of saying, "This is really what happened." The word of God is so powerful. You don't have to dress it up. You don't have to prop it up. All you have to do is believe it and live by it. That's the best thing we can do. But all of a sudden it takes on a whole different meaning. Well, here's the deal. There's a particular, some people say, "Well, I know some people thought he was Beelzebub, some thought he was a blasphemer, some granted the privilege of being one of the prophets." Isn't that lovely? But the rich young ruler, the young ruler had an encounter with Jesus that confronted the things in his life. And this is in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. This is a great place for us to discover who Jesus is. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but the one that is God. You know what the commandments say. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And then he goes on to say, and he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Oh boy. Oh boy. I just want to unpack this real quickly for you because we're going to get to who Jesus really is. Here's what he would say. Number one, he says, "I tried religion and religion failed." I think many of you have probably tried the same thing. Try to keep all the things that you were supposed to do and it didn't work. So he says, "Good teacher, what can I do to inherit eternal life?" He says, "I've been going to synagogue ever since I can remember." And he says, "And somehow it just hasn't made it for me." Or how about this? He says, "I tried Reformation, but that also failed. I tried to, you know, kind of keep in line with different things, And I could do it for a little period of time, but it just didn't work. Or how about this? I tried doing good works, and that didn't work. Or how about this? I followed the rules of the synagogue, or maybe for some of you of the church, and that didn't work. The rest of that story, I'll just fast forward it for you. And Jesus gets to the heart of the issue. He says, you know, if you really, really want to know me, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. Guess what? Homeboy didn't do it. The Bible says he left kind of sad, but the world had such a hold on him he couldn't. He didn't believe Jesus for who he really was. You know what his conclusion was? What I have here is worth more than knowing Jesus. Is that how you feel about it? Well, I was going to have a prop up here, and my prop, I forgot. So I'm going to use your imagination. In my hand, I'm holding a saucer, and on top of the saucer is a cup. And the cup is upside down. You got the picture yet? Anybody confused? Okay. So it's here. It's in your mind. If the cup is upside down on a saucer, tell me what's inside of it. Anybody know? I just put it on the. What's inside of it?
Air.
Anything of substance inside of it? Okay, I'm putting it flat on top of this plate. So, what else is inside of it? I know this is kind of a lesson. If I had it up here, you'd probably get it quicker. Darkness. Darkness. Thank you. Somebody's. You're on it, man. Good. Okay. But another thing I want to tell you about this cup when it's upside down is there's nothing wrong with it. It's useless. Because it wasn't designed to be upside down. I want you to imagine yourself on your little saucer upside down, full of darkness, and you're useless. Because that wasn't the way God designed you to be. Somebody say amen. Amen. So, this young ruler guy, he misses the whole thing because he sees himself, well, I've got all this. But you know what? You're upside down, man. You're not accomplishing God's purpose. You're filled with darkness. Jesus wants to turn you right side up, fill you with his goodness so you can be useful for other people other than for yourself. And that's the whole world as it is. They're upside down. They're filled with darkness, and they can't accomplish any purpose. We must be willing to embrace Jesus for who he is, what he came to do on earth. Let me tell you real quickly. He did not come to save us from sorrow because he was a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53:3, he says, here we go. We're going to get through some scriptures real quickly. He is despised and rejected by men. He's a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. He hid... And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. I want to let you know, it's important for you to realize that Jesus doesn't meet the expectations of everybody. Well, I was expecting more than this. Quickly, let's go to the next place. He did not come to make us immune from temptation because he was tempted on all points and he did not sin. If you think you're going to be, because all the temptations are going to go away, look at Hebrews, and Hebrews will tell you this. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I want to let you know, even though you're tempted, Jesus has made a pathway for you to resist temptation. If you think, oh, when I come to Jesus, all temptation going away, Pollyanna will help you with that. Ain't gonna happen. Hello? Let me go to the next little place here. He did not come to whitewash us, but to wash us white. How about that? Isaiah. Come on, Isaiah. Come help me out. Here we go. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Jesus says, I didn't come to give you a makeover. I came to change you completely. Well, one other one. I love this one. He did not come to put new patches on old garments. Here we go. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. See, some of you say, I just need a few things. God, just kind of fix me up a little bit, a little touch up. Oh, no, honey. You need a complete makeover. This, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. Well, I'm just about done. I got a bunch that we're going to rapid fire right now. There are seven promises, or Jesus promised to do seven things for those who will follow after him. Get ready for these. Number one, he'll never leave you. Is that good news? The scriptures, Hebrews 13:5, I won't read that. You can look at that later. Number two, I will make intercession for you. That's Hebrews 7:25. He's constantly making intercession for us at the throne with God. Number three, I will change you into my image. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. Number four, I will supply all your need. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. How about this? I will keep you from falling. Jude 24. How about this? I'm preparing a place for you. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. You believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that there where I am, you can be also. He says, how can I know the way? Thomas said, how can I know the way? Jesus says this, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. That's pretty exclusive. But Jesus made that appointment for you. He's going to come again and get us. I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's also John 14:3. Here we go. Who is Jesus? Ministry team, you can make your way up here and that'll shut me down, I think. Jesus is the way that's for going. If you feel like you're lost, he will show you the way. He's the way that's for going. How about this one? He is the truth that's for knowing. Ever been confused about knowing what to do? Well, Jesus is the truth. Inside him, there is no darkness at all. He is the truth. He's the way of knowing. How about this one? This is better. He is the light. That's for showing. The Lord says, you are a city that sets on a hill that cannot be hid. No man hides the light under a peck measure, but he puts him on the light where it can be seen. You are the city that sits on the hill. God expects you to shine forth his greatness and his power. Number four, he took part in the human nature that we might be partakers in his divine nature. What does that mean? That Jesus in all points was like we are, so we could partake in his divine nature. I got a couple more for you and we're just about done. He was put in a manger so we could live in a mansion. Is that all right? That's what he said, I'm preparing a place for you. How about number six? He was poor that we might become rich. Number seven, he went to the cross that one day you might wear a crown of eternal life. Come on, put your hands together and tell him thank you today. But the question is, what does all of this mean? What does all this mean? It means that you can know him. Who is this who can turn water into wine? Who can make a raging sea turn it into a sidewalk that you can come to him? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know after we're done today, we will fellowship together, but I want to just culminate something in someone's heart today. I have one question to ask you. Who is Jesus to you? Someone who walked through these doors would say, I had no idea that I'd have a confrontation with a Jesus that could, that is aware of everything I've ever done and would offer himself to me for salvation. Would you agree with me in this prayer? It'll be something like this. Jesus, no matter what I've gone through, you knew all about it when you were making your ride into Jerusalem. You weren't concerned about what people were thinking, because that was 7 days later, those same people that were crying Hosanna would say, crucify him. But you did that because of me. And Lord, I ask you today just to really open my eyes that I might see you for who you really are. I need to know you as Savior. I need to know you as Lord. I need to know you as forgiver of what I'm experiencing right now. Right where you sit, I want you to make your own altar and say to him, God, I really need you to touch me where I'm at. I kind of feel like blind Bartimaeus is at the side of the road. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me because I'm blind. I'm going to pray, and at the end of my prayer, whoever you might be, I'll ask you just to make your way this direction. As we sing this song, a simple song, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And we'll meet you down here, and we'll be glad to pray for you. The rest of us will join fellowship in the foyer. But the most important thing is that you take the time to get to know Jesus. Father, I pray for people that would boldly say to you that those that may have strayed away and others that would come for the first time, that would make their way forward today to connect with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that somehow there's something I said that would let them know that you can know them today. They can know you. Lord, all the guilt, all the shame, all the frustration, all the pain, all the rejection, Lord, would you please bring them to a place of just open their hearts to find you. I thank you for this. In Jesus' name. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to sing the song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. If you want to spend some time at the altar today, I want to invite you to come as we sing this song.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.